We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 live from Huss Brewing Company on East Monroe Street. In downtown Phoenix, here we go, fellas. We are 25 hours away, just outside of that, from tip-off of the national title tilt. John Fanta, Kevin Sweeney, CBB Central. I can't wait to hear your way too early top 25. I know you have been locked in at all hours of the night, like you as well.
Yeah, like I'm going to throw darts. That's how we need a dartboard, and I'm going to throw darts for my preseason top 25 because.
That's why your top 25 always stinks.
That's why.
You see mine and heat checks, and we do a little work, and ours turns out good.
Good. All right, we'll do some work. You can tell me who's coming back. You can tell me who everybody's getting in the portal. You can tell me all that.
It's a snapshot in time.
Tell me all
that. Snapshot in time.
All right, so a snapshot in time. Tell me now where UConn will be.
I've got them
on Tuesday.
They'll be fifth on
Tuesday.
Okay,
give me the roster. Why would they be fifth?
Right.
Tell me your snapshot and
Dan Hurley.
Why they deserve
Dan Hurley.
Fifth.
That's
Dan
why
Hurley.
I went bold. So
with five guys.
We'll dive into it.
We'll
talk about that in a little bit.
He's got me fired up, Sweeney.
Well, I'm going to give you the visual here if you're talking about biggest takeaways from the press room today.
Go ahead. What was it?
I walked in, and Jeff Borzello is knee-deep in his laptop. And I go, Jeff, what are you working on? And he goes,
top 25.
He goes, I'm working on the top 25. I got to get the U.S. I got to get the Maryland starting lineup now for next year.
You're like, good luck.
It's pretty easy.
Actually,
Jacoby Gillespie, Rodney Rice, Deshaun Harris,
hustle.
Julian Reese, and Derek Queen, starting five.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Henson.
That's why you have him in the top 20 because you can actually name their starting five. Most teams,
correct,
you cannot do that.
That's why there's no evaluating protocol for this.
Like, no, that's why I said,
stink or
give me a dartboard.
Right.
Right.
John, as we get
I like the dartboard theory.
Right? It's true.
I do, too. I mean, I'm throwing it at the dartboard as well. We'll get into it. I want to talk to you, Mr. Henson, and get your thoughts as you join our set here for hour number two. What is the thing that you are most curious about with this national championship game that you are – looking for the most when the ball is tipped tomorrow night?
Well, you know, I finally got to kind of walk through the back and really, like, size up these players, you know, compared to me and other players. And, you know, I'm curious what Lawyer and Smith are going to look like against UConn's backcourt that has a little bit more size. Is Caravan going to be able to bang down there at the four spot? I think that four spot battle, Kaufman, Wren, and Caravan. If Caravan can keep him off the glass and physical and space him out, I think that's going to be the swinger because Edie Klingon.
I think you're going to see a lot of Mason Gillis.
Yeah, okay.
You're right. I mean, that's the one thing that Matt Painter has at his disposal. He can kind of see which matchup he likes better. But if you have Kaufman, Wren in there, again, the spacing isn't nearly as good. If you have four shooters around Edie, mm-hmm, if they're making shots, I would go.
And I think Kaufman Wren was big early on in that game for getting extra possessions, and that kind of got Purdue off to a good start.
Yeah, look, I think the interesting thing with Caravan is I think people have felt like you could go at him, right? He was the one guy on UConn that you felt like you could go at defensively. And Alabama went at Caravan yesterday. he had a couple of big-time defensive plays. Like, he had that block, I think, on Sears.
He did.
Sears
that, was big.
That was awesome. Like,
scout report.
Right, again.
He sat on that.
People have felt like that was the one guy you could exploit. And if you can't exploit him, all right, like, where is it coming from? So that's why, to me, if Purdue's not going to be able to consistently drive the ball against these guards, then the entire story of the game is the Edie Klingon matchup and how many minutes Klingon can play, right? If we think about it as basically a binary of every minute the Klingon's on the floor, Purdue and UConn play one-on-one in the post, and every minute that Johnson's on the floor, they have to double, and then they can get rotations, right? Then, like, we can assume Edie's going to play 40, right? Because he played 40 last night. He's played all but three minutes.
He ain't coming out tomorrow.
He's played all but 3 minutes since the end of the first weekend, right? So if he's going to play 40, how many minutes is it? Is Klingon playing 20? Is he playing 25 or is he playing 30? If he plays 30, UConn wins by 10. If he plays 25, I think it's a close game. If he plays 20, I think Purdue wins.
But that's why, Jeff, I think Samson Johnson is intriguing in this game, just to see when he gets on the floor how that works out.
I also wonder, and this is a good question for you, so I wonder, usually Klingon is standing there patrolling the paint and not worrying about too many other bigs. Now he's got to worry about Zach Edey. So his role isn't the same, kind of being able to go after as many shots if those guys are able to get in the paint.
Yeah, but when you think about Purdue, who puts pressure on the rim?
I know. Well, somebody's going to have
effectively.
I mean, Lance Jones can a little bit. Lawyer can.
But Lawyer and Braden Smith usually take intermediary, middle, floats. Yeah. And so I personally think Klingon's definitely going to have to be careful of challenging shots he may not get because Edie's on the backside. But I'm 100% sure Hurley is on that.
Who has the better backcourt in this game?
I think UConn, right? I mean, look, I've been a big Braden Smith believer all season long. I think he's been phenomenal, save for last night. And I think for Purdue to have a chance to win this game, they're going to have to make this a close battle in the backcourt. But the weapons for UConn, to me, just clear, right? I think, like, the fact that teams have showed every different look. I mean, Alabama basically not guarding Castle last night to start the game. He goes for 20-plus, right? Like, there is not one guy you can playoff that you can exploit, that you can expose. Like, they have so many weapons. I mean, I think you guys talked about it last night on the show, right? Tristan Newton has really struggled the last couple of games.
Yes,
I know
he had
a couple of big jump shots, but for the most part, Tristan Newton has not played like the Bob Cousy Award winner that he is.
Shouldn't have been, you mean?
Discussion for another day, right? Like, the fact that UConn has
some
proved
harsh words from you.
Jamal Shedd should have been the winner. That's all.
Call me crazy. I think it's a bad matchup for Purdue. It's a bad matchup. Yeah. I think Purdue beats 99% of the teams. UConn's makeup, it's a bad matchup. This is because they have a big fella down there. The only way that Purdue, I won't say the only way that wins, if they want a chance to win this game, they have to get Klingon in foul trouble. That's the only way. So
then you gotta help.
And Samson, you gotta help
Edie,
and make a start.
And then
if it's gonna go mano a mano, I love Zach Edie making tough twos. I love that. That's in today's game, making tough twos, they'll at least be in the game.
Jeff, do we know the location currently of Jeffrey Anderson, Roger Ayers, and Terry Oglesby? The coaches are wondering.
I don't know what. Yeah, I'm not sure what the coaches' hotel is, but. Those guys are going to have a hard time. They're going to have a hard time trying to officiate this with two big boys like that.
What do you hope for?
I mean, again, you want to let them play. You want to let them play. I hope they don't make calls in that first minute.
So, look, the one thing I'll say with the let him play thing is that, like, letting him play is a disadvantage. Is artificially punishing Purdue for Zach Edey getting fouled every possession.
I don't agree
right?
with that.
Like, it's not fair that Zach gets fouled every trip. And Painter talked about this earlier in the week.
Will he get fouled every trip?
He right. does by every other opponent.
But
right?
Klingon's his
maybe
size.
Klingon, maybe Brook. Look, I'm
Klingon's
saying
his size. So
when you audit the foul calls against Zach, they are all fouls. They are all fouls.
But Zach draws fouls. Because of his size. He does not pump fake. He's not
Never.
Putting pressure on you. He draws side fouls because he's too big. So what he's gonna do with Klingon, he's gonna go middle, he's gonna
Every
jump
time.
Hook. He doesn't really force the issue physically. So I don't think Klingon is gonna get in foul trouble. With Edie's of someone similar size. Even with Burns, I mean, he got in the foul trouble with Burns, but it wasn't like he was burying Burns under the rim. Burns was just too short. He got him a couple times. So Klingon, I think, is going to have trouble if they want to throw down there to him, but I think they'll probably stay away from that and bring Zach out. I think, personally, just watching how UConn game plans and schemes, I love Dan Hurley. I think Dan Hurley's going to scheme the hell out of this team. And
I think he'll mix it up a lot.
I love Klingon coming out setting the screen and roll, and Newton and Spence, how they put pressure.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it could get
you
ugly.
You think Edie's going to have to deal with a lot? Edie's a lot of pressure.
Cam Spence is going to have a big game tomorrow. Watch.
I think he will have a big
game.
Because
Edie's
going
to be in
the
drop, and Cam Spence is going to be able to get in there and just fades and lays and lobs. It's going to be.
He's so wired, John, and it's not a bad take. We all are hoping for a close game, and that is a scenario on the table, and it could very well happen. But you know what? The fact of the matter is this. Connecticut has won 11 straight NCAA tournament games by at least 13 points. You're waiting for the moment. Last night, I thought for a moment we could get there, where UConn might blink and be in a close game.
Mm-hmm.
But it never got there. It was tied with 12 minutes to go. Do you think the most likely scenario is that we hit the under 4 and this game is still very much in the balance?
I do. I just don't think UConn's seen anybody like Purdue.
Giving them cliffs now, huh?
No, I'm actually seen anybody not, like but Purdue. I probably am.
You're giving them cliffs.
I'm not trying.
I think the GAs have already sent that to Hurley. It's already been clipped.
Look,
How many teams have you motivated in your career?
I don't know. Well, Baycott said, a couple years ago, that was certainly one that they played the clip. And Hubert Davis actually came up to me after, and he's like, thanks for that.
Nate Oates thanked you, thanked us.
Yeah. Well, I said, I'm 52, and I can – Mark Sears can't guard me.
I just look at, they lost to Illinois by 7 or 6. I mean, they beat Illinois by 6 at their place. Right, it's the home game for Illinois. Nebraska blew them out of the water. UConn doesn't really have any losses like that.
I mean, they got blown up by Seton Hall.
That's Creighton. Yeah, Seton Hall
by 15.
Right.
But
they're a champion, though, as Dagan Hughes would point out. Seton Hall's a championship team. Look, I will say the one thing with UConn, in this incredible stretch of 11 games, right, everybody talks about it, and it's all earned. This is not taking anything away. They have not played a 1 or 2 seed.
Right. We talked about that earlier.
Purdue is.
That's right.
As good. Purdue is a championship level team in any year in college basketball.
Henson. So you're giving the 6.5 here. You're loading up.
I am.
Loading up, giving the 6.5.
I'm with you, John.
I have literally been hammering UConn spreads. Last year I hammered it. So I have nothing to lose. My units are insane on UConn right now.
See, Henson bets.
Yeah.
Henson bets are almost as good as Taipom.
Yes. So.
Which is the metric that we all learned about this season issued.
I can't wait till the 2024-25 preseason Taipom rankings.
No.
In fact, why aren't we releasing
on Field of 68
the Taipom top 25?
Can you text Hansborough and say, could you file a way too early top 25 to us? Number one, North Carolina. Kentucky not ranked.
Duke not ranked.
Will Kentucky be ranked in Taipom?
No chance. No chance.
Wasn't that revealing this year that Hansborough actually has a stronger dislike for Kentucky fans than he does of Duke fans?
Yeah, he can't stand him. Well, they get on him, man. They get on him. He enjoys it. He does. He enjoys it.
Here's a question that was asked in the interview room today. Not interview room, the media room. We were talking about, most anticipated national championship games since. Somebody said 2015 Duke-Wisconsin.
Duke-Wisconsin?
That was a good one. That was a good one. Kaminsky, Decker.
Where do you put it?
I thought that Gonzaga-Baylor game was going to be great going in.
I think anticipation-wise, Gonzaga-Baylor, ignore the terrible bubble, right? If that was a normal tournament, that would have been incredible juice.
Yeah,
those brands aren't quite as big as UConn and Purdue, but they're not, small. They've been winning for a while.
Yeah, they were 1-2 all year.
I mean, UConn, Carolina-Kansas is, a massive brand battle. It wasn't the two best teams.
No.
Right? This is the first time other than the bubble tournament where it feels like the two best, unequivocally best teams in college basketball this season are playing in the national championship. And that's cool, and that's great for the sport, right? People are going to tune in because we talk all year about
back-to-back days, we're getting it. Right. The women's game and now the men's game. And, the women's game, I think, delivered. Can the men's game do the same? Can it be close till the under four? I think it's going to be. I really do.
Henson does not think that.
Well, because he thinks Klingon's going to, like, hold Edie in check.
I'm not worried about Edie on Klingon. Edie's going to do what he does. I don't think it's going to be
easy. You saw Braden Smith's worst game in person, too. Like, that was a
– I understand that.
That was awful.
But you think he's going to go against UConn's backcourt and just carve them up?
No, but I think he's going to make shots early. I think he's going to make shots and not turn the ball over, you know, twice in the first minute and a half. Yeah, I don't think he's going to come out like he did last night.
I'm not saying that.
So you like Purdue plus
points.
I do.
I like the money line. How's that?
Wow. Money line is great value from better
perspective.
That's what
I'm saying. That's why I'm taking
money line streak on Purdue. Yeah. If you can get Purdue at plus two something?
250.
I think that's great value. Like that. It's going to be a donation, but great value. So, you know.
Look, Purdue, like, we can criticize Braden Smith all we want. We can criticize Braden Smith as much as we want. Purdue is, I think, 13-1.
Better GM is excited for guys like Jeff.
Purdue is 13-1 this season against top 20 KenPom teams. Like, we can criticize, like individual matchups, yes, and UConn's different. No one's saying UConn's not different. They are an elite team. They are a different beast in March. But, Purdue has seen great teams before. Braden Smith has played high-level basketball against great college basketball teams this year. Against athletic teams, he played really well against Tennessee. Like, he was phenomenal in that Tennessee game. That's Zakai Ziegler. That's, you know.
Yeah, but the Tennessee's not UConn. Arizona's not UConn. Nobody's UConn. Nobody's
UConn.
This is one of the most dominant teams we've ever seen.
See, I still.
They've
like,
won their games by an average of 25
I know, but when
points.
I hear that, I'm just like. I don't know, man. Like, let's see tomorrow night.
Then if you
do it tomorrow night, I'll say it. But again, the best team they've beaten is an Illinois team that, frankly, didn't have a point guard.
No point guard.
No, but they didn't. Look, they didn't.
Remember when the draw came out and everyone's like, "This is a really challenging region."
Alabama's that. Like, Alabama just pushed them. Is Alabama that talented?
They don't control who they play.
I'm just saying. Sometimes you get fortunate. This is a different level team.
They're 36-3.
Huh?
They're 36-3.
I'm just saying, like, again, let's see what they do tomorrow in the title game before you start calling them, like, one of the greatest teams in history of college basketball.
I said dominant. Because I think that's a different argument. Greatest for – the game's different now.
Yeah.
But dominance, this is the second largest margin of victories through five games in the NCAA tournament ever to 1999 Duke. Who beat Duke in the title game, Rob?
The consistency of dominance has never been seen.
Thank you, John.
I don't care if you're playing this beer can. Like, no one's ever done it. Like,
thank you.
So, I mean, Purdue has a chance. I don't love the 6.5 as far as betting, but, like, Purdue has a good chance. I'm not saying that. I don't know if they're going to blow them out. I think it will be a sweat. But how can you, like, winning is contagious, and UConn, they also have an experience factor.
They do.
They had
they
a
do.
Starting
You're right.
back point guard. They've got a coach. They've got a – they're like this is nothing new to them.
And they look like men. Yes, they do. I mean, 100%. That's the one area that scares me, right? Braden Smith. He's like 5'11", right? Fletcher Lure looks like, I mean, Henson, you're pretty, you know, when you came into college.
Yeah. I mean, and when I look at, I like to look at this too. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lure, they're not ripping and going by anybody. They need screens. They need angles. And so you wonder how effective they'll be in a game to where ultra scouted, ultra adrenaline. They're gonna need Edie to play really well, and then
Edie, as everybody calls him.
They're gonna need Edie to play really well, and then go from there.
So I've got a stat for the all-time great teams discussion, right? And so this only goes back as far as 1997 because that's the KenPom era.
Yeah.
So there's only four teams better than this UConn team in overall adjusted efficiency in the KenPom era.
Okay.
They are 1999 Duke. Who blows everyone away, but they lost to UConn in the championship game.
Yep.
2001 Duke, who won the championship. 2015 Kentucky, who lost in the Final Four. And 2021 Gonzaga, who lost in the championship game. So, not only, like, are the numbers everything? No. But I think we could already say, like, body of work-wise, UConn is one of best teams in the last two decades. Yeah. Really, the last 25 years, right?
You're saying they have to cap it off.
And two of the four have lost to the championship.
Three of the four. Like,
it's a good stat. So might need a little sprinkle.
I will say, the vibe, Henson Betts. No. Hold on a second. You can't sprinkle. No.
Oh, I mean, listen, love, I'm, you know, like, for instance, I was in a hotel today.
You're up
and
so much.
Was like, NC State. I was like, yeah, don't really have a lean. I didn't bet on you guys, so sorry. Like, I'm not mad. I'm not.
Depends when Henson wakes up, you know, how he feels.
Well, I mean, I think money liners, or what you do is you take UConn and wait till Purdue gets to a good plus money number, you go UConn.
Go
Purdue.
Did you see Roy yesterday?
I did. I saw him before the game. I said, what's
Coach
up?
Coach Williams. You can't call him Roy. Come on.
R-Dub. I call him R-Dub. Really? That's my guy. I'm going to go golf. We're going to go golfing.
Are you going
shocking.
To go?
Yeah. Shocking that he wants to golf.
We're
going to
go golfing. He said, how you doing?
Will he beat you? Will he beat you in golf?
He'll kill me.
Right?
He said, how you doing? He said, you saved your money. And
what did you tell him?
I said, yeah.
You tell him how much you're betting?
Oh, he doesn't. Oh, well, Roy's a gambling man.
Oh, I know he is.
So he likes the crabs.
Did you tell him you're going? You're laying the 6.5.
I didn't. There wasn't a line. Yeah. But
when you go,
I love the face he was making when NC State was scoring. That was.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's like on the internet. He's like making faces, and when they score, shaking his head. He just really doesn't like NC State. It's
so
the most.
Good.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
So he doesn't like NC State more than Duke.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the story goes back in the day, something happened at the scorer's table, and it just really pissed him off.
Really?
And, yeah, I mean, I never lost NC State in my career. I think that's why he likes me so much. So, just saying.
The stories you could tell about Coach Williams.
Yeah.
As Mr. Dowster brings me a lovely beer from Hus Brewing Company. This is the Scottsdale Blonde. One of many great – has there been a better location for us?
Oh, my goodness. This place is unbelievable. Jeff Huss, the owner.
Good vibes.
Oh, it's great.
Awesome.
I mean, outside you got – I mean, it's heavy Purdue here. It is heavy Purdue. In fact, if the Boilermakers do win
– oh, boy.
Do win the national title game, come to Hus Brewing afterwards. It's going to be an absolute bash here. A bash.
You have post-game ideas for tomorrow, which I
do.
Like.
I do.
Your
yes.
ideas.
Were- yes. We'll be back here. We'll be back here.
Who's going to drive you?
Not Doster. Doster will not be in the same car.
You should print out some directions.
If Purdue wins, Doster will be in the same
car. So for those who are just joining us and didn't tune in the pregame show yesterday, Henson and I arrived just after 1 o'clock, which was a couple of minutes past when we were supposed to be on. That's how hard it was to get to our wonderful friends at BetMGM, just because the Final Four Fest, they like gated off the sports book because
they get up more than the sports book. I mean, I
couldn't get around. I had to go. Rough. I'm begging to get to the Mercy Exit. They're like, no, you got to walk around. I said, I'm not walking around. I'll hop this fence.
Before I walk through
this wave of NC State fans doing this.
They were ready for you.
Oh, they were.
I was rumbling and bumbling and stumbling to that sports book. I walked over 2 miles. My ass should not be doing that on a hot day in Phoenix. Guys, I was, by the time I got there, I'm like, and I look at Trevor outside the sports book, and Trevor goes, nobody else is here. What happened?
Doster had some directions, and we got close, and then we got stopped, and he said, I got another idea. Let's go this way. We went around there. We went further from the stadium. Then it was following his plan, and his plan was absolute garbage.
Rob,
the worst navigator you will ever find.
It was your
Robert
plan.
Bobby Doster. The worst.
It was not my fault.
It was
I did
your
not
fault.
Do it. I got fault. Exactly where we were told to go. It's
I
not
like
my
that
fault.
He calls it
change okay. the streets that were open.
Your plan.
You are a bad navigator, though, regardless.
We've all seen it, right?
That's not true at all. That is.
I didn't say anything.
Randolph, come here.
RCO, true or false?
Me up.
True or false?
Get him a mic.
Did you get car sick in the back seat with Jeff driving?
This is exactly what we want to see you.
Why did you get car sick?
Because you are a horrible driver.
Rob's directions are go 6 miles and make a right.
under the pass.
And then break. and then the light's there. And he's like, "Oh, you made the turn."
We've got a break. Coming up, we have trivia, which I've seen the questions, and this is going to be great. Plus, we'll dive more into this wonderful championship game, and we will unveil a way too early preseason top 25, and CBB Central's going to tell me why I'm wrong. That's next on the Field of 68, previewing the national championship game live from Huss Brewing Company. Stop and see us on East Monroe Street.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Haven't heard by now, we are partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using the BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your own hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. And three, you will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the Final Four. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love, a nice little parlay boost, as well as a ridiculous array of prop bets on anything that you could possibly imagine betting on. BetMGM is and always will be the king of the prop bet. So go download the BetMGM app and use that code FIELD to sign up today. By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. Here's how the app works. All of the podcasters and bloggers and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in Autograph. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or try to navigate the only safe for work spaces that are left on X, you just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I'm a UConn fan. I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets and signed memorabilia. Whether you are a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. After a six-month season loaded with cross-country travel, I can promise you that proper recovery is a priority for me these days. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Field of 68. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or the EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in New Jersey or at one of the hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/unified68 to learn more and find a center near you. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 live ahead of the national championship game tomorrow night. We are at Huss Brewing Company, East Monroe Street, closing out our week of coverage at Huss Brewing. We will have a pregame show at BetMGM tomorrow. We'll be on after the game as well from State Farm Stadium. I'm John Fanta. He is Kevin Sweeney. He is Rob Doster. He is John Henson. And it is now time for us to talk through. And Henson, no analysis on this is unacceptable. I do not want to hear anybody talk down about your analysis of anything, of anyone's, because we're going to talk through a way too early top 25
way
for next year. It's way too early.
We haven't even portaled yet.
Our bosses at our respective companies love this because it does what?
People love to read it. They can claim that it's a stupid enterprise, but they do that after reading the
I
article
used to
and
click on
reading
the
how bad
top 25 all the time.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a fun read.
Yeah, why not?
Do you like it, Robert?
It's frustrating to put together because it's so difficult to put together at this point. Nobody knows what anything is. I feel like 50% of the players that are actually going to play Division I college basketball are currently sitting in the transfer portal. We don't even know who Arkansas's coach is going to end up being. There were players that were committed to Arkansas when Muss was there that are now trying to find out what they're going to do. So we really have no idea what these rosters look like. But it's always fun to kind of speculate and argue and project. And it gives you a sense in this moment of where college basketball is. So I do think that there is a little bit of value to putting it together. It just is very difficult to put together. And the only way people can really evaluate this stuff is if you kind of watch it over the course of the summer.
Yes.
And, you know, it'd be fun. Maybe we should do this, is build a tracker so we can just kind of see where a team is ranked by the consensus as we go through.
Could move in and out.
Yeah.
Well, we
in, out, up, down.
Do you like the I just thought of Terrence Oglesby. Do you like the
No Diddy.
No Diddy.
No Diddy.
You did not just say that. Henson. That was great. Okay. Man, you're just throwing strays at T.O. See, this is a problem. I knew it was a problem when they put us four on out of break.
Oh, me and DJ Burns.
Thoughts of-
Again, okay. No Diddy.
No Diddy.
All righty. Way too early top 25.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's subject to change. It could change every week. But right now, who would be – I'm going to give you my number one team, okay? My number one team is quite simple logic, and it's not based on any projected starting five because everyone's going to have them in their top five. So I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to put them one because I might be the only one to do it. And there's no penalty if you're wrong. UConn is my number one team in the country because they're two-time defending national champions.
Well, they're not yet.
It's
well, I have them winning a second.
Did you say what I thought you said?
Yep.
You didn't just say that.
I did.
Are you – You're out of your mind. You just said UConn is the number one team next year?
That's what you have them ranked.
Well, like, again, how?
I put him fifth.
How? Are you just doing it?
He ran up on. He ran up on John. Like,
how many times? Good man. How many times in your career?
Hold on, man.
How many times in your career have you yelled out, trust Bill Self, trust Bill Self?
I got Kansas.
Back-to-back titles, he's in that conversation.
I got Kansas. I just like what they're doing.
Is Hunter coming back?
Sure.
You're going to talk, Jeff. You got to take a microphone.
Shut up.
You got to talk.
Is Hunter coming back, though? Hunter's coming back.
Is Hunter coming? Is Hunter Dickinson going to come back?
He came on here. He sat right here in this seat, and he gave – he's coming back.
There's not confirmed. I just got a feeling.
Well, with DeJuan Harris and with what they've added in the portal.
Kansas is a real conversation because they've already added two big-time pieces in Zeke Mayo from South Dakota State, who is a dude. Like, they were missing shot makers this year. He is a big-time shot maker.
And they've added –
and Riley Kugel.
Yeah, the thing about Riley Kugel, let's talk about that, because I think Riley Kugel has as much potential – as any two-guard that you're going to find in college
he's
basketball.
He's super talented.
Yes.
I just don't know how well he contributes to winning because he's never been good when he doesn't have the ball in his hands.
And you know what?
And you can't put the ball in his hands.
You know where he's going?
A really, really good coach.
Yes. So when you have a guy that has that level of talent and you put him on a roster with a coach that knows how to get the best out of his talent, I mean, look, what's the problem?
I didn't have my earpiece, and I said, "Who are you guys talking about?" I couldn't hear.
Oh, Kansas! Can we get the man an earpiece?
No, it's good.
Can we get the man an earpiece?
Player you were talking about? Who were you talking about?
Riley Kugel.
Oh, Riley Kugel.
It's a great ad. It's a great ad.
Yeah.
And if Hunter Dickinson comes back, I'll hear you on number one.
And here's the thing.
And they have Flory Badunga, if not, who's a five-star recruit, high-level athlete, kind of an Oscar Tshiebwe type.
Yeah. So hold on. Let's put this roster together. You got DeJuan Harris.
Yep.
You got Zeke Mayo.
Yep.
You got Riley Kugel.
Yep.
You got KJ Adams.
Yep.
You got Flory Badunga. And you have potentially Hunter Dickinson.
I think Hunter is going to come back. I don't know how the NIL and stuff works. You gotta re-sign him. Is it the player option he had? Like, what was that? Like, how did that work?
You get a 1-on-1.
Yeah, they have a player option. You had a 1+1. If they get Hunter back, I mean, it could get real scary. And as you know, I kind of treat like how Hubert, when they had a disappointing year, retooled. Refocused. I think Self's going to do the same thing, and they're going to be really good next year.
Yeah, I think at this point, too, when you're putting this stuff together, you have to bet on two things. One, places that you know have the NIL rolling, right? Have this thing figured out. Have the ability to go out and just kind of drop a bag and say, we want you in our program. We're going to go get this kind of talent in the program. And two, you got to bet on coaches that have proven they've been able to put together teams like this.
So I agree with you. I put 2-1 because if we're even considering them in the first place, they're probably going to have some NIL dollars.
Yeah.
Like, if you're being considered, that's a prerequisite.
Except for the Seton Hall Pirates.
Yeah.
Except for the Seton Hall Pirates I don't think are being considered for preseason top 25. And their NIL will be increased significantly.
So I do want to address the UConn thing that you just mentioned.
Address it. Well, I just got criminalized.
Don't listen to him. He's an idiot. I think that they lose at least four of their starting five. Mm-hmm. Steph gone. Donovan gone. I'm assuming both of them. They look like Steph's looks like he's going to be a lottery pick.
Steph's gone.
Yeah, Klingon looks like he's going to be a top 10 pick.
Klingon's gone.
I'm
Steph
assuming
could be a top
10
pick too.
Right?
Tristan Newton, does he have a year left?
Nope, he's gone. And Cam Spencer does not have a year left. For the people that are wondering why, the year that he got the medical red shirt was the COVID year, and you can't get the same year back twice. And so if he had the medical red shirt a different season, then he would have another year available. But you can't get these.
He played four full years plus the COVID year. The COVID year doesn't matter. So whether he played five games or 25 games, he's done because he's played four full years.
You can't get the same year back twice, if that makes sense. So Cam Spencer is done.
Well, quarterback Ryan, does he have any other big left?
I think he's going to show up on June 1st and just see. You know.
Cormac Ryan and John Henson were actually on the – the same team Cormac at the Ryan NBA top 100.
Cormac Ryan would be entering his medical residency if he was at this point.
Samson Johnson's back.
There are guys in college basketball right now that are coming back next season that saw UConn win the 1999 national championship.
Listen, there's a kid in Miami, the football player, like year nine.
Yes, I know.
Go get a job.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
That's what they're doing, man. They're trying to make $50,000 in NIL. Jake. That is a job.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
But so UConn, I think that you need to rank them number one. Caravan has to be coming back to school.
And I have him coming back.
Okay, that's the big question to me. Is that's going to be one where he declares for the draft, he goes through the process, and he sees where he kind of shakes out in that evaluation. And if he's back to school, and we're assuming Jalen Stewart, Solo Ball, Jaden Ross all come back.
What about again, Diarra?
He's got one more year,
and he's a good guard, man.
Yeah, he's a good guard.
He could be there. He could be their starting point guard if he has to.
Yes,
like you could go into next year,
but
with
they could upgrade there in the portal. Yes.
I don't know if they're the number one team in the country if he's the starting point guard, okay. But he's a very good player. The guy that I think would have to have a big step forward is Solo Ball and Jalen Stewart. Jalen Stewart, we've seen it coming. I have a feeling he's gonna be really good next year. Solo Ball is a guy who's got to take a big step because that dude, I think, has a chance to be like a Jordan Hawkins type breakout star next year. He's a bucket.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I thought about this last year when I put out my way too early last year. UConn was number four, and at the time, you're like, well, they're losing Jordan Hawkins and Andre Jackson and Adama Sanogo, and they've got five of their top eight players are gone, but we still have them number four because they just won the national title, and they do have Donovan Clingan back,
we
and
saw
they do
Clingan,
have Alex Caravan.
I think we saw Clingan as an All-American, and we saw Caravan as a guy who had already proven he could start at this level.
And we thought Newton would be back.
Yes. Right.
And he
That's
did.
That's the difference. That, to me, is the difference.
Your number one team is who?
I have Duke, and I know that's probably shaky in this day and age because it's so hard to be freshman oriented in this day and age. But I do think Cooper Flagg is different. Like, I think Cooper is going to be in the National Player of the Year conversation as a freshman. I think Kamen Malawach is ridiculous as a shot blocker. I went to Basketball Without Borders in February in Indianapolis at All-Star Weekend, and like the way that he moves, the way that he impacts the game, like being able to play those two guys together is so scary defensively.
Right.
And now all Duke has to do is go find guards who they just have to go score.
Jared McCain's gone? You think he's gone?
I think McCain will go pro. Yeah. But I think you might be able to get Roach back for a COVID year. Mm-hmm. I think Caleb Foster has a chance to take a nice step forward.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
So, like that could, that's a nucleus right there that I can believe in. And then, all right, like, can they go get one or two guys in the portal? And there are other signees. Like, Con Knipple, I believe is how it's pronounced, from Wisconsin. Like, he's a big-time shooter. And that's something that they haven't had. Like, this past year, they did not have a guy they could just bring in and make shots consistently because Jaden Shue wasn't good enough and things like that. Like he is a guy who I think will make a –
Jared McCain.
They didn't have a guy that can make shots. No. Jared McCain
coming
hit, like, nine
bench,
straight
be,
threes three different times
the bench,
this year.
And be a three-point specialist.
Okay.
Because their spacing was screwed up because playing Mitchell all the time. Right?
All right.
I do want all you guys to weigh on this because I think the most fascinating part of this preseason top 25 discussion is going to be Cooper Flagg, right? Like, it's more often than not we see the reclassified freshmen that get that level of hype that end up coming in as one of the younger players. And he might be the youngest player in all of Division I basketball next year. It's hard to impact the game at the level that we want people to impact the game as a 17-year-old when you're going up against all these guys that are 23, 24, 25. Like, I think Cooper Flagg is a fantastic prospect. I think that his floor at the NBA level is like an Andre Kirilenko type of impact defender where if he puts it all together offensively, then you can have like an elite all-NBA 3-and-D kind of a wing.
I agree with that. I think offensively people, if you haven't watched him, he's not like an offensive juggernaut. What he does, he plays hard, he's competitive, he plays on both ends. I hope that people don't think he's going to come in and break these scoring records like maybe a Zion, because Zion was just so physically gifted. I don't know if Cooper Flagg is as physically gifted, which is going to make it harder for him to play against grown men down there. But
he is an elite defensive talent.
But both ways, if you understand you're going to get a hard playing player both ways, he's going to make some shots, he's going to finish. I think the sky's the limit.
The other thing with Cooper is he is – the epitome of a winner.
Yeah.
Right? Like, stayed home, played on Maine United EYBL, which is no history, no anything. Like, really no other clear Division One players other than his brother,
right.
Ace, who's going to be a mid-major type of player, maybe a low, maybe a mid-plus, A-10, something like that. Like, he took them to the championship game against the Boozer Twins and all these other studs.
How many times have Maine United been a
of the U-16, let's be clear,
and,
the U-16.
And then he goes to Montford, not playing U-16, playing the best players in the country, national schedule, and I believe went something like 33-0 this
with
year.
With Liam McNeely, Derek Queen.
Around talent, but, like, found ways to be productive in that setting, right? Like, this, all this dude does is win. All this dude does is find ways to be impactful. And I think that's, like, I mean, look, there's been a lot of talk this week about Stephon Castle making the right decision to come to UConn and being wired differently because he came in and wanted to win and wanted right. to play a role. And it wasn't about the numbers. It wasn't about, you know, it wasn't about achieving certain things for himself personally. It was about the team. Like, Cooper Flagg's going to put up numbers next year, but he's not going to approach every game being like, how do I become the guy who averages 20, 10, and 5, right? Like, he is going to come in and say, what can I do that will be best for Duke? What can I do to make Cayman Malawach better? What can I do to make Jeremy Roach better? What can I do to make Caleb Foster better? And that is a very, very powerful thing in 2024-25.
What do you think Tristan Newton would have done if Steph Castle would have done if he was on last year's UConn team instead of this year's UConn team? Does he still have the same impact? Does that adjustment to the college level become easier or more difficult when you have 1 year less of physical development
I
and
agree
growth?
With like, that, but that, I don't
that's
think.
That's my only point. And I'm not saying that you're wrong. I think that Cooper Flagg could be that good. I think that he could do everything that you're saying.
But
it's much more – like, the other guy I'll compare him to, and they're very different as basketball players, but Gigi Jackson, he was committed to North Carolina. He wanted to reclass. North Carolina, it didn't work out there for his reclass.
Gigi was like, look, I want a guaranteed money, and North Carolina was like, we can't guarantee you, but we know we can have you – you know, and South Carolina's like, huh.
Here you go.
We got you.
Here's the bag.
That's it.
And so he went a year early, mm-hmm. and then look at what he did. He was one of the most inefficient players in college basketball when he was the youngest player in college basketball.
I just think the Montverde experience is different, right? Like, I think being in that setting, and, like, think about how many of those guys have come through there and been immediately ready to impact the game, right?
It's
like,
an all-star team.
He's much better than Scotty Barnes. He's more complete. But Scotty Barnes walked into Florida State ready to play. Ready to contribute, right? Like, if he is deluxe Scotty Barnes for Duke, he is going to be scary, and I think he can be that.
All right, because we have 12 minutes left in the segment, I'll run through the rest of my top 10. You run through the rest of yours.
Okay.
We'll get raw reactions here. So Connecticut's one for me. Duke is two. Kansas is three. Iowa State is four.
Yep.
With Taman Lipsey, with Keyshawn Gilbert, with that.
They've already done some stuff in the portal, too, with Nate Heisey and Deshaun Jackson. Yep.
That's a terrific team, should be in the top five. Gonzaga is five for me. Arizona is six. Tennessee is seven. Much to the dismay of Jeff Porzello and others, I've kept Houston in the top 10 because I trust the hell out of Kelvin Sampson. So Houston is eight. I know I've got them higher than others. Purdue is nine, and Cam Jones and Marquette are 10.
How people are saying that they're not going to take Houston in the top 10.
Porzello is.
What are you – Jeff,
what are you watching?
Jeff. Listen. It's we're here in Phoenix, right? We're here at the Final Four. I get it, okay? I get it. You're having a good time partying. You're having a good time hanging out. You're enjoying Scottsdale. You're enjoying your life down here. You must have been out with John Henson last night if you're waking up feeling that a team that no matter who they lose for like 15 – what has it been, like seven straight years, doesn't matter who Houston loses, Jeff.
This? How about Marzello,
it doesn't matter who Houston loses.
Matter.
They've always been as good. There is no program in college basketball, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, no program in college basketball that is healthier right now than Houston in terms of being able to get players in and just let them develop into who they need to be and the players that can impact the game. Yeah. What are we talking about? You don't have them top 10?
No, I have them top 10.
No, Porzello.
Get Porzello out of here, man. That's why he doesn't come on the field of 68. He doesn't know ball. What are we doing here? Go cover the Premier League. Go cover fantasy football. We don't need you in college basketball.
No.
We're not going to have Houston in the top 10. We're not going to.
He gave me crap.
Duster, it's the way too early.
I think Houston on a bad year is a top 15 team.
What'd you say?
Houston on a year where they're going to find a way to be relevant.
What are we talking about? Am I crazy?
You could start Duster.
I feel like I'm taking crazy
Well, you are crazy, but not for that reason. I saw him.
Borzello said he doesn't have Houston as a preseason top 10 team.
I wish that he argued as passionately as I did on this. I mean, we're like, the two of us are like, you know, it is what it is. All right, give me your top 10.
Everyone's
so here we go.
Yeah.
All right, give me your top 10. I had Duke number one, as I said. I have Iowa State number two. I think they will probably drop as we go, but right now they have a lot back.
Iowa State have already added 3 points. That's why they're great about that, but go ahead.
Kansas 3, Gonzaga 4, UConn at 5, Arizona at 6.
Yeah.
Two elite freshmen, obviously, you know, Boswell, Lewis, Bradley,
right.
Krivas, a big breakout year. Watch out for Krivas. I've got Houston at 7 with Sharp back, Tugler, Javier Francis, Purdue at 8.
We're matching.
Purdue at 8. Tennessee at 9, and then I put Baylor at number 10. Rob Wright and VJ Edgecombe are going to be electric.
VJ Edgecombe is something special, man. He is.
Well, we were at did you do a team final game at Peach Jam with Rob Wright and all those guys, Jaleel Bethea?
Robert Wright was outstanding.
Dynamic.
He is explosive. He's quick off the bounce. Baylor, I love the kids they're bringing in.
And they bring back Nunn.
Where do you have?
Should bring back Ojanwana as well.
So we have 9 of the same 10.
I believe so.
Wait, did you
have Purdue top 10?
Are my Tar Heels in your top 25?
They got them. Yeah. They got them. Where
do we have who?
Well, a lot of that's going to depend on RJ and what the decision that he makes is.
I
feel like you did some reporting on that last night as well.
It's going to be interesting to see because it's like it's kind of like the Cal situation where it's like he's like, hey, look, we got some guys behind you. I don't know.
I heard that exact same thing, that they're hesitant on bringing him back because there is
– got Ian Jackson.
There's money that –
So where does R.J. Davis
elsewhere.
Go then?
Which is – by the way, that is fucking insane.
Yeah.
You're saying, all right, this fifth-year senior that might want to come back that was a second-team All-American or first-team All-American
first team.
That might have been the best player in the ACC.
Might have been the best player not named Zach Edey in the country.
Yes. He could come back and be the preseason National Player of the Year, and you don't want him? Because
if you chose Ian Jackson,
I think from his perspective, he had a peak year. And – there's a window. Not saying he's going to get drafted, but there's a window. I think RJ, if he leaves on this time, professionally, I think he's going to be a lot better off. If he has a bad year, I mean, yeah, think.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I don't disagree. But here's the counter that I would give to you. What can you make next year if you are a first-team All-American, come back to school at 23 years old for the University of North Carolina?
Exactly.
And will that be more – I think you can make an argument. He can make more next year for North Carolina than he could at any other year in his entire career
not
as a professional.
Make, it's not going to affect his – like, okay, if he can make $400K, he could probably clear that give or take professionally – at this moment, like,
we
I don't
can
know.
Assume he's getting a two-way, right?
Yeah,
like, he goes to the draft, he'll get a
like,
two-way.
I don't think – I think right now you got to strike while the iron's hot. He had a
– how can
– do we not think
– how is it only $400K or $500K?
North Carolina could pay him a million.
He's going to make $7.
They should pay him $1 million.
I think he should get two commas next year.
I think if he goes in the portal, he can get
if
a million.
If he goes in the portal, he's getting two commas, John.
If you're saying strike –
he's getting two commas. Yes. We know what Zach –
he better go portaling then.
We know what Zach Edey – we know that –
if he's going to get seven figures, and it's a no-brainer.
He has a chance to do the funniest thing ever and transfer to Arizona.
I mean, I think I think those are the backroom conversations that guys like RJ and Hunter are having.
You know,
White Plains
here's
native,
the thing.
Walking around.
When you say strike while the iron is hot, we'll get to them in a second. When you say strike while the iron is hot, to me, it's not – it used to be strike while the iron is hot for the pros. Now it's strike while the iron is hot in the portal.
Yes.
That's striking while the iron is hot because your value could just go here. Let's talk Kentucky. You asked where do we have Kentucky. I have Kentucky 22, 21, 18.
Safe.
And that's safe. That's in the middle of nowhere
that's
in
safe,
my top
John.
25. I have them good enough to be ranked, but
who
not
do you
in
have,
a place
who do you
where
have
I
coming back? What players do you have coming back? Anyone?
That's not Reed. If you're putting him 18, that's not Reed. I
no,
have 13.
Not.
Reed Shepard's not back.
Reed and Rob are gone.
Reed is.
I think Justin
Reed,
Edwards
Reed
is probably
is
gone.
Reed is working out in the gym somewhere for pre-draft right now. He's
yeah. Reed and Rob are probably gone. Right. I would.
Dillingham.
Justin Edwards is gone.
Justin
Edwards
is gone.
Dillingham.
The one who could maybe come back would be DJ.
DJ's
but
gone.
DJ should go.
Do you want him back?
No, I wouldn't want him
DJ's,
back.
DJ's
gone. Yeah, DJ's got to go.
If you look at that, then you're sitting here saying, well, why are they ranked right now?
Well, their freshman class is really good.
Well,
Carter Knox is phenomenal.
They're freshmen.
Shout out Temple.
Here we go.
They're freshmen.
Here we go.
You're not getting a repeat of Reed and Rob. That's not happening again. They're freshmen. You're building an entire roster out of freshmen.
Yep.
And you don't have the best freshman. You don't have the guy.
That's
like,
true.
You got not – we talk about this all the time, right? Like, not all five stars are the same. Just because you were a five-star doesn't mean you're Anthony Davis,
right,
who robbed John Henson of the 2012 National Defensive Player of the Year Award.
Just making him relieve it every day, huh?
Not robbed. It's bullshit.
Keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
Roy did tell me yesterday I'm the best defensive player he's ever coached to this day. That warmed my heart. I put that up. I want that other than
– Roy did have a couple old-fashioned.
At North Carolina, that wasn't a high bar to clear.
I'm just saying. No. He said ever. How many years have you coached?
Hey.
A lot of years.
Hey.
A lot of years. You got robbed. Should have been the 2012 Defensive Player of the Year. Not all five stars are made the same. And they didn't get the guy.
You're right.
They didn't get Cooper.
I will say the one thing that
what about
really
Auburn?
Does hurt. I ranked them.
They're in there.
I am 16th, I believe. They're an interesting team because if they could get Jahni Broome back for a COVID year, he will be a first-team All-American.
It seems that when we had Coach Pearl on the show, he was in a good mood. We'll say that.
He's always in a good mood, though.
It's always a good time.
It was clear they have NIL money, and they're working to keep the guys and. He didn't seem like he was too.
They have big time guards, yeah, right? Guys coming back, and then the other thing is they had Tahad Pettifer, who's an elite freshman, and he's the type of again small guard, shifty type dude who can really go make plays. I think he will be an impact, instant impact guy. But the Broome thing is the one you have to watch.
All right, I got a good one for you here.
And then at the end, let's get the whole preseason top 25. Just roll
okay,
through
let's
the whole
do
top
that
25.
Now. Let's yeah, do that now. We'll so here you. We go. So I gave you the top 10. Okay. Carolina was 11, okay. Florida is 12.
Walter Clayton,
Todd Golden, with Walter Clayton, and with some of the
Alex
other pieces.
Alex Condon's going to explode.
Yeah, I think the Gators now. I think year three of the Golden era is going to be the best yet. Baylor comes after them at 13. Alabama is 14. Auburn is 15. Because I believe Ryan Kalkbrenner will return. And I believe in Creighton's NIL, Creighton is 16. They're a top 20 team until further notice.
It used to be trust the coach, trust Greg McDermott.
I believe in the NIL. Oh, hold on. I trust Mac. I trust that Greg McDermott will put a nationally ranked team out on the floor. St. Mary's is 17. And I thought about putting them higher, but they haven't.
I have them 14th.
You do. Okay. Kentucky's after them. Miami's ranked.
Done some work in the portal early. Lynn Kidd.
Jake Diebler and Ohio State are 20th. Big expectations for the Buckeyes from my end. Mississippi State is 21st because
Josh Hubbard.
Because of Josh Hubbard coming back. I think Josh Hubbard's the best player in America nobody talks about.
Him and Kanye Clary is a dynamic scoring backcourt. For
BYU is ranked. UCLA, bounce back year for Mick, ranked. Maryland, 24th, ranked. A lot coming back, Derek Queen.
Can
and
they
to round
score,
out the
though,
top
Jesus
25
Christ.
With two of the best freshmen in the country, Steve Peichel and Rutgers.
Yeah. I like that. I
like
the
Rutgers.
The point of the way to really top 25 is to get people thinking about next year. And Rutgers, you got to toss them in the back end.
Will it work, Rob?
It's very
will you go to a Rutgers
they
game?
They have pros.
Will I go to a Rutgers game?
Dude, Ace Bailey.
Win a couple, I'll make it up
and
there.
And Harper is really arguably good. Maybe more impactful at this level. Yeah. So I don't know.
Ace is nice.
So we talk about – I know I just said all the stuff about Kentucky's freshman. What I will say is I like the fit at Rutgers a little bit more because I do believe you're going to have a program that plays a certain way and that has a certain culture that defends a certain way. I know Cliff's not there. I know there are some people in the portal. But it's still Rutgers is going to play Rutgers basketball. They're going to guard.
Yeah.
They're going to defend. And then you add a guy in Dylan Harper who I think – I think his adjustment to college will be easier than most because it feels like he's got, one, his body's developed, two, he's got a pretty veteran game. And I think that those guys are going to be asked to do a little bit more of just be a role and do a job as opposed to have an entire roster built of around four or five freshmen.
My only worry with Rutgers is that their backcourt right now, very early, but their backcourt looks very ball dominant. They added the Tyson Acuff kid from Eastern Michigan, and then they brought back Jeremiah Williams kid, who was really good down the stretch for them, but like ball's always in his hands.
That's a problem.
And so how do you mesh that with like I wanted shooters, I wanted guys who were, you know, come in, play a role, distribute, let these freshmen go. I think it's gonna be a little bit different, an adjustment, but I do think, and Pikel's never dealt with guys. So it's gonna be very interesting to see how it goes, but I do think the talent's there, and I do think that, as Rob said, having an identity and a foundation of like, here's how we play, here's how we win is a big deal.
But you didn't rule out that After Dark could come from Piscataway, New Jersey for the first time ever next season. We will go.
If they're good enough, if you build it, we will come.
And the Rack, it will always be the Rack, is a great atmosphere.
Absolutely.
There's your Way Too Early Top 25 coming up in our final hour. Trivia time. Our wonderful producers, Dagan Hughes and Trevor Valise, have put together some elite trivia questions to test your knowledge.
Am I on punishment? What do you call it? NCAA. Do I have show calls or I still can play?
You can still play.
As long as Sean Paul's not anywhere near you, you can play.
Okay.
No show clause. Okay.
Purdue fans are ready. UConn fans are ready. We'll get back to this. Hey, look,
I'm just glad that he admitted to cheating. He just admitted to the fact that he cheated the other. He hasn't done that yet.
Honestly, I was using my resources. There were no rules given. I'm just saying.
The rule for don't cheat.
It's called a loophole.
I feel like that's obvious.
They did not say you can use. They didn't say don't use any outside help. I never heard that rule.
Well, and
I'm a stickler for loopholes is how we get around.
Is this what they teach you at North Carolina?
Exactly. Yeah.
Is anyone else surprised that the guy that graduated from North Carolina is saying, look, they didn't tell me not to.
All I'm saying is when they did an investigation, came out clean.
And on that note, hour three is next. This is the Field of 68 live from Husk Brewing Company.